This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
White collar crime, what is it? I'm talking today with Manny Medrano. Manny is an experienced trial attorney who focuses on white-collar criminal defense, financial litigation, and internal investigations. He has defended corporations, senior executives, public officials, and private individuals in criminal investigations and regulatory actions. He has extensive anti-corruption and compliance experience in all aspects of Foreign Corrupt Practices Act compliance and enforcement. Mr. Medrano has served as a federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles and is a sought-after speaker serving as a lecturer and group leader for the U.S. Attorney General's Trial Advocacy Program. He is an adjunct professor of law within several universities in Southern California. Mr. Medrano is a former member of the prestigious ranks of the U.S. Supreme Court Press Corps, where he served as a Supreme Court legal affairs correspondent for ABC News in Washington, D.C. He has further distinguished himself as an Emmy Award-winning reporter anchor for KTLA News and KNBC News in Los Angeles, and appears regularly as a legal commentator on network and local television and radio programs. Manny, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Mike, for letting me join you today. I'm terribly excited to be with you.
Excited to have you here. To start out, what exactly is white-collar crime?
Let me explain it in a backwards fashion. Let me first compare white-collar crime to what others refer to as street or blue-collar crime, all right? Street crime or blue-collar crime basically is, if you read about it in the newspaper, see it on your local news, it involves cases, let's say, like a DUI, a narcotics offense, someone accused of domestic violence, violent crime, someone commits a murder. That's basically blue-collar or street crime. Now, let's contrast that with white-collar, which is financial-related crime. So let's say, Mike, that you and I are alleged crooks and decide that we're going to launch a Ponzi scheme, or we're going to reach out to hundreds of investors to invest in our new research and development project, and we're going to create this new product. It's going to save the world. And instead of using that money for that purpose, like you and I decide to just live high on the hog, we take all that dough, each of us buy ourselves a Lamborghini and a new beachfront house. That's a Ponzi scheme because you can't do that. So anything involving finances. So let's say you're a high-level executive at your local bank and you decided to embezzle over $1 million of the bank's assets. Let's say you head up a national nonprofit and you're accused of, you know, siphoning some of the assets of the nonprofit for your own personal use. So it's financial-related crime. That's what white-collar is, and it can be very complex, but it is a serious offense nowadays, post-Bernie Madoff, especially.
Do white-collar criminals get a slap on the wrist, or do they actually go to prison?
Well, let me answer that question this way. Many years ago, when I was a federal prosecutor, I prosecuted all types of crimes, including white-collar offenders. And I remember one case in particular. There was a Orange County defense contractor who was supposed to provide very high-quality steel to the U.S. Air Force because that steel was going to be used to build long-range bombers for American forces. Well, this Southern California contractor decided to substitute in lower quality steel. So at some point, those bombers are going to fall out of the sky because the metal's going to fail. Those two defendants in that case got a slap on the wrist. They got street probation. Let me tell you, that doesn't happen today. After the debacle of Bernie Madoff, It is rare now that a white-collar criminal, after being convicted, does not go to prison. So forget slaps on the wrist. You're gonna do time if you break the law now.
Which white-collar crimes have been on the rise since the pandemic has been upon us?
Great question, Mike. We're over 6 months now with the lockdown and the pandemic, definitely here in Southern California. And ironically, I never thought this would happen, but I've never been as busy as I have been now because of the clients that I have accused of white-collar offenses. One of the biggest issues right now and targets for white-collar criminals is the PPP loan program. You remember the Paycheck Protection Program, which was created to assist small business owners, you know, to give them a lifeline during the coronavirus outbreak crisis. Well, what's happened is you have a lot of alleged criminals now who are completely taking advantage of it, providing false loan application information or false IRS tax records and getting a ton of money and using that money to buy themselves a Lamborghini or Rolex presidential watch, a diamond ring, a diamond bracelet, buy themselves a home, a 33-foot cruiser yacht, you name it. And so, but the feds are coming down hard. Dozens and dozens of folks have been indicted for that kind of offense. But that's definitely a particular type of crime that is significantly on the rise during the pandemic.
If, heaven forbid, law enforcement doing a white-collar investigation contacts me, who should I speak with? Where do I go?
Well, let me answer that question this way. I used to be law enforcement for over 10 years of my life, one of the best jobs I ever had. I'm very proud of the service that I provided as an assistant United States attorney, a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles for many years. No one has greater respect for law enforcement than Manny Medrano. Having said that, if you are contacted as a target of a white-collar criminal investigation by, let's say, the FBI, you get a call, hey, I'm an FBI Special Agent Jones out of the downtown L.A. office. We'd love to sit down and chat with you. Can we meet for a coffee over at Starbucks? Well, let me just say this. At that point, law enforcement is not your friend, Mike. You are in the crosshairs of a criminal investigation. The law says that law enforcement can lie to you, to mislead you, do anything they want to try to get you to waive your Miranda rights and to speak freely to a federal agent. So they are not your friend at that point, Mike. So the bottom line is this: never speak to law enforcement if you're the subject of a criminal investigation. Always bring in a lawyer who shall serve as your buffer with law enforcement. I can't tell you how many cases I've had that I've defended, Michael, where the only evidence against my client was the fact that they spoke to the feds. So I recommend you don't speak to law enforcement without bringing in a criminal defense lawyer.
I'm chatting with trial attorney Manny Medrano. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Coming up next, affording white-collar criminal defense. Manny, with that, what if I can't afford a criminal defense attorney? Will the government provide one free for me? Are there other avenues?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the indicators that we live in a great democracy is that the law says that if you can't afford to hire your own white-collar criminal defense lawyer, Mike, then the government or the state will provide one free for you. Okay, so you are definitely going to have a lawyer. Now, let me just say this. Some of my best friends are public defenders. Some of my best friends are what they call indigent panel lawyers. And both categories of such lawyers provide free legal services to someone who's accused of a crime. But it's always my recommendation to clients, and I don't say this to make a buck because that's not the case at all, but if you can afford it, it's better to go with private counsel because many times, let's say public defenders, they have tremendous caseloads, Mike. They have a ton of cases, so you're just not going to get the individualized attention that you would say get from a private lawyer. So if you can do it, you can pull it off. Definitely better to hire your own private counsel versus having an indigent lawyer or a public defender represent you.
Manny, switching gears, what is the most difficult criminal case you've ever worked on?
Well, I've been very blessed with my career as a trial lawyer. And I might have mentioned to you, Mike, I'm very comfortable in court. You know, I've tried 63 jury trials. I've won 61 out of my 63 jury trials. So I feel very comfortable in a courtroom. But probably the case that was the most difficult that I ever handled was when I was a federal prosecutor leading the team that went after the Mexican drug cartel leaders that kidnapped, tortured, and murdered an American DEA agent by the name of Kiki Camarena. That was a lengthy investigation, and I led the prosecution, worked with three dozen DEA agents trying to bring to the bar of justice the bad guys. And at the end of the day, we indicted 24 people, caught six, and convicted five, and they're all serving life prison terms in maximum security facilities throughout the United States. So that, hands down, was the most difficult case I ever did because it involved investigating a murder that occurred on foreign soil in Mexico.
Manny, how long was that case? How long did that go on?
Mike, the murder occurred in February of 1985. I led the investigation from 88 to 1992, and that's when I was a U.S. attorney in downtown L.A. That's all I worked on for those 4 years. It was a very difficult prosecution, a very lengthy investigation, because we had zero cooperation from the Mexican government. And the reason was many of the people that we were investigating, the government leaders, were in bed with the drug cartel leaders because they were on the take and receiving bribes. So it took many years. And a very difficult case. During the course of that investigation, the cartel put a contract on my life. So I had 24-hour U.S. Marshal protection for a couple years, carried a gun with a permit to carry for over 4 years. So it was a difficult time. But you know what? I would do it all over again tomorrow. It's the case, one of the cases that I'm most proud of and privileged to have been a part of, to bring to the bar of justice those responsible for that heinous crime.
Manny, with that case, did you work closely with Mexican authorities as well?
We did. But, you know, it was a different time in the late 80s versus now, because in the late 80s, the Mexican government was very protective of itself and not really cooperating a whole lot with American law enforcement. So while they provided a little bit of assistance at the end of the day, they could have done a heck of a lot more. So we were left to our own devices, Mike, to pull this investigation together and go after some really, really bad people for the terrible crimes that they committed. And we pulled it off. You know, it's a real feather in the cap, if you will, for American law enforcement. And by the way, one of the best things that ever came out of that case was the deterrent value it serves to drug dealers today in Mexico, because they know after we did that Camarena murder investigation, Mike, that if you touch a single hair on the head of one of our American agents and you hurt him or her, we are going after you with everything we got. So as a result, American DEA agents still serve in Mexico doing what they do for drug interdiction, but the drug cartel leaders know better now than to harm them, because the power and force of the American government is going to come down upon them. It's going to rain upon them to bring them to justice.
So the case really set a precedent for the future that has bearing today.
Oh, very much so. You know, it was a trailblazing case, and I just want everyone to know I was just one cog in the machine. I was the lead prosecutor, but a case that would have been impossible to do and investigate and accomplish without tremendous DEA agents that were assigned to the investigation. And on this topic, Mike, if I may, you know, there's a, if you have streaming service, Amazon Prime, there is a docuseries airing as we speak called The Last NARC, N-A-R-C, The Last NARC. And it's a four-part series, and it documents our manhunt. And again, I was the lead prosecutor to go after the drug cartel leaders that kidnapped, tortured, and murdered DEA agent Kiki Camarena. And it's a excellent docuseries, very accurate, and I would recommend to your listeners that if they have the time and interest that they tune in. Again, The Last NARC on Amazon Prime.
And that's currently streaming?
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's been airing for at least a couple of months now. And I really think that people would find it of interest, because sometimes a documentary can be a little dry, but I'm not saying just because I'm interviewed for it, that's totally irrelevant, but it's the production value is extraordinary. It's very well done. It's like watching a piece of fiction, like a movie almost, in light of the quality of the production value. So, you know, it's very well done, very accurate, and I think a real testament to every member of that investigative team that went after the Mexican drug cartel leaders, Mike.
I'm chatting with trial attorney Manny Medrano. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Manny, with COVID wreaking havoc across not just the United States, but the world, how has it affected the U.S. courts? When will live jury trials resume?
Mike, I don't think people fully understand how COVID has completely upended the legal system and especially the criminal justice system in state and federal courts in the United States. It depends on where you live and what courthouse you're in, but basically, jury trials are not moving forward at this point, especially in the state of California, all right? And it's for obvious reasons, safety reasons. You know, I've tried 63 jury trials. Good luck social distancing in a packed courtroom today. That's impossible. So there's some real safety and health issues for jurors to serve as jurors in cases. So I don't see a vibrant resumption of jury trials, frankly, till I think we have a vaccine, either at the end of this year or going into early next year. And then again, it's for health and safety reasons. It's just not safe. I mean, people don't realize that a lot of people who serve as jurors now are retired folks, all right? And they are in a age category that is very susceptible to the coronavirus. So again, it's going to take a while. And now there has been, at least in the state of Texas, one viral jury trial, and then that raises a bevy of constitutional issues. Mike, for example, you have a right under the Constitution to confront witnesses who testify against you live in person. So is it a violation of the law to have virtual jury trials versus in-person jury trials? As you can see, it just raises a ton of constitutional issues, which is going to take some time to resolve.
And there's really no place through a trial to conduct it via Zoom. That just would not work.
Well, they're already trying it, and there have been one or two virtual jury trials, and already an appeal in one of them, because the jurors who were supposed to be paying attention on video conference, one person is clearly using his iPhone while deliberating and while listening to testimony. Another person has their kids running in and out of the room, so you can imagine how difficult it is for that juror to concentrate on the evidence and the testimony. I'm not saying virtual jury trials are impossible. I'm just saying that let's put it this way, Mike. If it was me as a criminal defendant facing a jury that's going to decide my guilt or innocence, and ultimately the judge, if I lose the case, will send me to federal prison for many years of my life, I would want to be able to have a live jury trial to look at the witnesses, to talk to my lawyer, to see the credibility and demeanor of witnesses on the stand. You lose a lot of that with virtual jury trials. So I definitely would prefer live jury trials. I just don't know when it's going to be safe for us to resume.
Now, if there's one thing you had the power to change in the criminal justice system, what would that be?
Well, that's a great question. It would be the following. I mentioned public defenders and indigent counsel. These are lawyers provided free to criminal defendants who are indigent and can't afford their own private counsel. What many people don't understand or realize, Mike, is that the state budgets for many of those lawyers is incredibly small, all right? There have been documented cases of capital murder cases in Georgia, okay? And the total budget given to the public defender to represent that person in a capital murder case, where if you lose your life, you can be executed. Okay, this is as heavy and serious as it gets. And the budget for that lawyer, the entire budget, is $1,800. So that's preposterous, Mike. That's not justice. That's not effective representation. So So if there's one thing, if I was king for the day, I would do everything within my power to give more funds to public defenders and industry counsel, so at least it levels the playing field when they go against prosecutors who most of the time have unlimited resources to hire an expert, to hire a consultant, to hire a jury expert to help you pick the jury. It just helps level the playing field. So that's the one change that I would make if I was king for a day.
And Manny, does it ever bother you to represent someone accused of very serious crimes?
Absolutely not. I don't explain why, because that's a question I'm often asked, usually over a beer with close friends, okay? And the reason, Mike, is people need to understand that the bedrock of our American democracy is the jury system, all right? And I believe passionately with all my heart, now that I'm a criminal defense lawyer versus a federal prosecutor, that everyone coming into the criminal justice system has a presumption of innocence, all right? And history is replete with countless examples, Mike, of people who have been convicted for capital murder cases and while, you know, sitting on death row were finally exonerated. It's not just a handful. It's a ton of such cases. So I believe with all my heart that even if someone is guilty, they are still entitled to the best, most effective representation that can be provided, again, to level the playing field with the district attorney or the U.S. attorney, federal prosecutor, because in having that level playing field, it protects all of us, and in protecting all of us, that's what the true democracy is, in my opinion.
What's the best advice you would give to someone being investigated for committing a crime?
I touched on this already, Mike, and I want to get on a mountaintop and scream it until the world gets tired of hearing it, and it's as follows. If you are the target of a criminal investigation, do not meet with law enforcement without first consulting a criminal defense lawyer, all right? That's the route to go. I'm often asked, well, doesn't that suggest to the cop or to the FBI agent that I'm guilty? No. You know what? Because law enforcement now is very accustomed that when they want to talk to someone, that person hires a criminal defense lawyer to serve as a buffer. So that's what you need to do. I've said it once, I'll say it again. I've lost track of how many cases I've had where by the time the client hired me, unfortunately, they had already met and sat down and given a full statement to law enforcement. And that, many times, is the only evidence that the FBI had against my client. So do not meet with law enforcement without bringing in a good, competent lawyer.
Manny, for listeners to contact you, what is your email and phone number?
Thank you for asking, Mike. My email address is M, and then my last name, Medrano, M-E-D-R-A-N-O. That's M, Medrano, at Zuber, Z as in zebra, U-B-E-R, Zuber Lawler, L-A-W-L-E-R.com. Again, M, Medrano, at ZuberLawler.com. Best number is 213-596-5620. You can always track me down and just Google Manny Medrano. I'm easy to find.
And listeners, remember to check out The Last NARC, currently airing on Amazon Prime. And Manny, thank you for being with us today, and keep America safe.
Michael, I'm the one who owes you a big thank you. Really appreciate it. Everyone have a tremendous day today.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is The Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on The Anderson Files.